March 12th, 4:30.
I see, yeah.
We call our meeting to order. Welcome to everyone. We have council people who are here. Smiley, Kilpatrick, Sheldon, Tackett, Bell, Powers, Cartier, Diller, and Retta.
Yeah, that'd be me.
Why can't anybody ever
remember? Is that who you are?
I almost called him Frank Sinatra.
Well, he liked that.
He was singing his way through.
Yeah, very able.
There's a record on.
Really?
Well, this morning, I think I'm better than Jimmy Durant, but
I'll be nice.
Anthony DeFeer is here with us.
I can't. It's Tuesday.
And our aides are here, and the folks from the administration. We welcome all of you. We'll move to the approval of minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes of February 26th.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We'll move right along with agenda number 3. Mr. Tackett, discussion on amendment to Rule 5.5.3 on Land Use Committee Appeals. Mr. Tackett.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. And on this one, if it would indulge the President, I might would suggest that we go ahead and move to number 4. I'm waiting on the arrival of Council, as she is actually the author of the legislation, just in case any specific questions perhaps would come up. I mean, it really is just a housekeeping clarification and some of the way we did things on prior where it says, so.
We'll revisit that when she comes.
And thank you.
If that's good with my esteemed colleagues. Everybody fine with
that? Mm-hmm.
All of you second it? Is that a motion?
Yeah, it's a motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And Mr. Smiley, I would just suggest, since I know Councilman Holland's like input
right
in 4, I'd just suggest that we
do
5.
Motion to adjourn.
Mr. Weiner isn't here.
Number 5 is me.
Okay. Five is
your problem? 5 is you. Right. Okay.
But we're getting to you.
And that's going to take a long while, sir.
All right. No. Yeah. All in favor of also moving beyond 4, say
aye.
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 All righty. Mr. Smiley, let's move to number 5.
Okay.
Discussion on AV protocol.
I don't anticipate this taking much time, but then who knows. Quite honestly, I want to ask for some consideration from fellow council members. I found it quite distracting and unnerving at the last council meeting when I was trying to listen to the presenter and the video screen was rolling where Mr. Boyle was looking for something. I would ask, I think that if the presenter wants something up there, then he would ask and Mr. Boyle would get it up on the screen. Barring that, I think if a council member wants to see something, then they should be recognized by the chair and at the appropriate time get the picture up on the screen. I think it's unnerving and quite honestly a little disrespectful to the people in the audience, the fellow council members, as well as to the person that's presenting, if we've got a screen rolling while we're trying to concentrate and hear what they're saying. So I would just ask. So that's my issue.
Discussion.
But I don't think it's unreasonable. But I could be wrong.
Oh, thanks, Mr. President. You know, certainly indulging, you know, the request or whatever. I don't think it's something that happens frequently. And just giving little indulgence to Mr. Boyle, maybe he might want to speak himself. But I'm sure it was an issue where he was presented with a request at the last minute, and then therefore was trying to indulge the request of the requesting council member, but...
And that's why, with all due respect, if I may...
Yes, Mr. Smiley.
That's why I brought it here, and with all due respect, it hasn't been an issue, but it happened, and there's no time like the present, I felt, to discuss it. Why let it go? If we're going to be advancing with AV systems and everything else, we need to at least have some idea, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not looking for, like I said in the email, writing rules and all that, but just a courtesy protocol. You know, bottom line is I got to wonder, if we've got that going on, people in the audience got to be wondering who on council is paying attention to what's being said about what we're going to be voting on. I just think it's responsible for us to work that way. That's all.
Mr. Boyle, you have a comment?
Jim Boyle, Policy Director. Again, the only thing I will say is, I kind of best put this, I work for all 13. Okay, if my point in time, if a council member asks me, can you put this on the screen, I put it on the screen. So, you know, if somebody wants to make a rule, policy, understanding, that's up to the majority of council. But my job is to serve all 13. If one wants it and if it's available, I present it.
Mr. Rep.
Thank you. I have to agree with Councilman Smalley and Councilman Tackett on the issue. And what I mean by that is if, whether it's in a council meeting or at a workshop, and it's up there, the chairperson can go back to the person who requested it and ask them to have it after the discussion of what is going on at the present time. So in other words, we don't have two items going into one. The present, what's going on right there at the present, when it's done, then we'll do that. And I think it's kind of like Councilman Tackett said, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but at the same time, what Councilman Smalley says, it could happen, and it was disruptive one time, and it should be, you know, basically the chairperson to coordinate it.
I want to acknowledge Council Member Street has joined us. Sound like this may be an issue of coordination,
right,
and planning.
Right.
And courtesy. Right. Little tweaks can go a long way.
But if we don't discuss it, we're not going to get there.
And we should discuss it. And Mr. Boyle. Yes, you have the floor.
Just to get in, like I said, that what we've been doing is putting things on the screen. What we have done also is we purchased this little tool that basically allows us to flip it on remotely. I've been basically giving that tool to the presenter, okay, whether it be the attorney, the engineer, or whatever. In most cases, that they have a presentation up there, they control the presentation, okay? Now, there may have been one or two exceptions to that where somebody else requested something else come up, but in most cases, it's not the norm, it's the exception.
Mr. Redham.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Powell.
I think when it goes back to what I said before, the chairperson, he can relate to the presenter and tell them once the present subject is done, then he can go to the other one and he can just scroll into that. Mm-hmm. And then that way it'll control the meeting and can move a little better.
Okay. Mr. Powers.
I think what is being brought up is something I asked for at the time. I was trying to find which one it was. If, you know, partly also presenting, I don't know, you know, I can do two things at once. Me coming from an Italian family, if you've ever been in there, there's 40 conversations coming on in a room at a time. But I did ask for that because I just wanted to make sure it was the slide. Now, if there's a way I could have looked at it some other way, I would have done that.
I don't think I have a problem doing more than two things at once, but sometimes I'd like to focus, and I think I owe it to the presenter and the people in the audience and my vote to be focused on what's being said, and that's all.
And we should always keep in mind striving for excellence in all that we do, particularly when the public is in the room. So it sounds like we just need to coordinate it a little better.
I think it was better.
I know I have a problem sitting in the chair. When there's a screen above me, I can't see. So, Mr. Boyle or somebody, could you have a monitor or something on the floor so I can?
Yeah, that makes sense.
If it doesn't work, then Mr. Smalley will pay for it, I'm sure. You have no idea to work it out.
If I may, we're working with the city right now. This was brought up in the technology meeting as shared cost of putting in a new visual system, which would include allowing that monitor in front of you to work. Right now, the existing system is done. It's shot, okay? And this is basically a temporary portable system until such time as we can get a new system in there. As I brought up in the technology meeting, we got one bid of $60,000. The city brought in another vendor. That's at $40,000. We would pay half of that $40,000. The question is, and if the meeting was the administration willing to pay the $20,000? I have not gotten an answer yet.
Please stand.
And Mr. President, I would just say, I apologize for the pictures of you I've had flashed when you couldn't see the screen.
Apologies taken. Mr. Street.
Mr. President, I apologize for my timing, but I'm not sure I understand the argument here. In terms of what we're maintaining is broken.
Mr. Smiley, would you restate your concern as it relates to item number 5, the AV protocol council meeting?
First off, unlike when you talk, we're not having an argument today. But what he's talking about is broken, which isn't what my topic was, is the main video system in the council chamber. So that's what he's talking about, is broken, if that's your only question.
No.
Or are you wondering about the agenda item?
Correct.
Okay. I wanted to discuss, and we did discuss, my concern with the last council meeting when I was sitting there trying to focus on the speaker and the screen was rolling. Where, as Councilman Power said, he had Jim looking for something. And I'm trying to focus on what's being said at the podium. So all I asked was that, you know, when the speaker's up there speaking, that we not roll the film. If a council member wants to see something, then they get called on, get the attention, and ask for it to be brought up. I'd like not to have that, you know, the screen rolling. That's what my purpose in asking for this, and that's what we've been discussing.
Thank you.
I'd like to acknowledge City Council at large member Justin Wright has joined us. Good afternoon. Now, Councilmember Tackett, we'll go back to your points. Council is here. Number 3 on the agenda. Mr. Tackett, land use.
Thank you, Mr. President, for your attention to this detail. I'm sorry that we were not able to stay in sequential order here and thank Betsy for jumping up and getting the council's attorney to join us. This is actually, like I said a few minutes ago, this is really just a cleanup version of how we handle appeals. Hope everybody's had a chance to read it. I'm really just going to surmise the whereas clause because it really pretty much puts it into the context where we need to be placing this legislation. And it's like, you know, the Newcastle County Council rule on appeals to the Land Use Committee is and distinguish the code changes, not code compliant, and in some instances, and should be updated to improve service and efficiency. And that's all this is doing, is upgrading it. Some of the old procedures had us doing things that we don't do anymore, and talking about when it had to be, and things the aides had to do and stuff, which isn't applicable to the way we handle the process today for other code changes. So what we need to do is get our appeal process back in line and make it co-compliant. And that's what, and we don't see these that often. This is the second one I've seen in my 9 years on council. So our council-to-council dealing with this identified these deficiencies in the process, and that's what she's done, is brought this change forward for us to make sure that we handle these code-compliant.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tackett.
So I'd be looking for questions from any of members, and we have the author here.
Any questions, discussion point for council to council? She is in the room. Any questions, discussion?
I make a motion to adopt the rule change.
We have a...
He already did it. He didn't need it.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
She left some very important stuff to come down here, so she needs to at least say something.
Carol Dillon, Council to Council, yes. Mr. Chairman, yes. Council Member Tack, and Council Members, I apologize for not being here. I was working on something that I had to get done. But I did want to say that the law itself has changed. These are all land use appeals. They're in the UDC. There are some simple things like from 20 working days to 20 days. They now require that the transcript be attached to the appeal. These are steps that we were taking separately, and it was a logistical nightmare for the aide. And we're now requiring, this is our own, we would be requiring that they file their memorandum at the same time so that the aides are not rushing around and trying to get them out. It is a housekeeping measure, but it also is a legal measure because we were not in compliance with the change.
Thank you so much. Mr. Gaudier?
Yes. Carol, how you doing?
Hello.
I I wanted to, just a broader question, this particular rule amendment. Is this committee appeals process set forth only in Unified Development Code or County Code, or is it also in state law?
Carol Dolan, Counsel to Council. Beneficial use appeal is set forth in the state law as well. That's in Board of Adjustment.
Yes.
Use variance. That's
right.
The only one.
That's the only one. So this strictly is in the county Unified Development Code.
But it also applies, if you notice in here,
yes,
we would adopt a resolution for use variance, and that has a different standard as to who does the vote on that. So they're all incorporated here.
Right.
But they are all in compliance with state and county law.
Okay.
What page is that, Council? Maybe John could turn to it and make it show him.
I will have to put my glasses so I can see.
That way we're clear before we vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you look at 5.3.3.1, which I'd love to change so we can make these 1-3, C, approval or disapproval via resolution instead of a written opinion of a use variance granted by the Board of Adjustment, or return of the matter to the Board for further hearings and findings consistent with 9 Del Code 1313. So that is addressed in there, and it follows it exactly.
Any other questions for Council to Council? Mr. Street, before you speak, President Pro Tem has joined us. Mr. Hollins, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Street.
Section 5.3.3.5, no ex parte communication. Under what's proposed here, what's the time that we're talking about? Are we talking about anything prior to the appeal being submitted?
The qualifier is that would create the appeal. Excuse me, Carol Dolan,
yes.
Council to Council,
yes.
Mr. Chair. Qualifier is that would create the appearance of bias. Obviously, any council member would have to know that something is filed before they're having a ex parte or one-sided conversation. And there is a lot of debate and literature on this because people have to have access to their elected officials. On the other hand, if you know that there's an appeal that has been filed, to meet with one party after that has occurred would give the appearance of bias. You are acting as a quasi-judicial body instead of a council member at that point. That means that you're acting as a hearing officer or a judge rather than as a council member.
Okay, but as proposed here, that rule would only come in force once the appeal was made in writing?
Correct. And it says here, if you do notice, there will be no ex parte communications between the applicant and the body. And any and all correspondence from council and parties must be copied to everything, to all. But we could amend this to make that clearer if you would wish.
Well, I'm not saying that at this point. I just want a full understanding of the rule because I'm just not certain how you eliminate it all together except in the process. But I know I have been asked and I have not honored requests, not necessarily appeal, but requests from folks to meet with me prior to us making the decision about something, and I have refused to do that. And to me, they're one and the same. So I'm just concerned about time frame. And if somebody knows that they're going to go forward with an appeal, knowing this rule exists, and then make an effort to have a conversation with individual council members prior to making the appeal, knowing full well they're going to make the appeal. So I mean, where does it actually begin? Is my concern.
Well,
Council.
Carol Doolin, Council to Council. In the past, I think that it's really been governed by common sense. If someone is coming to you and saying, I don't like the decision, I'm going to appeal it. The council members actually in the past, and although we haven't had many of these, have come forward, and this says that you can state it on the record. I just want everyone to know that I met with applicant B before I knew that the appeal was filed. It's really a matter of the conscience or the, of the council members' common sense at that point. If you feel that you had a conversation that was confidential or would be pertinent to the other party. But just like a lawsuit, until someone knows that there's a lawsuit, you really can't be held to a standard of having met with somebody, which you were elected to do. I don't know if that answered. Did that answer the question?
Well, it answers the question, but it doesn't answer the concern, because the concern is, in going forward in a process like this, people, especially those who like to win, and they're going to be different sides, become extremely hyper-technical as part and parcel to their argument. And if this rule is steadfast as presented, I just think it leaves a lot of latitude to bring forth unnecessary criticism that may or may not be warranted. Because it's will be as hyper-technical as they can in trying to be persuasive with their argument.
Mr. President, there is,
yes.
And Councilmember Street, there is a way that this could be clarified if you wish. Upon the filing of an appeal, we could put down at the beginning of point five, there shall be no ex parte one-sided communications.
That helps it.
Does that satisfy your concern?
My concern is never satisfied. It helps.
It helps. All right. Well, we'll keep working until we can move forward.
That would be an amendment by the sponsor, I would presume, if you felt that was appropriate.
Could you read that back to me, Anthony? What was the verbiage in that? You defer to Carol.
What she said. Please read.
Carol Doolin, Council. At the beginning of the very final paragraph, 5.3.3.5, it would state, upon the filing of an appeal with the clerk of council, comma, there shall be, then we would pick it up.
Blah, blah, blah. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
And understanding that this is only for appeals that come before us, where we are the quasi-judicial. Anybody can come to you and say, I didn't like the Board of Adjustment decision, and I'm going to appeal that, and what do you think? And you can talk to them all you want, because you're not the decision maker in that case, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
This is just for us.
Correct.
Right.
These are only planning board. That's
and we decision. Only get these appeals when they're subdivision decisions made through the planning board.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't, or the Board of Adjustment.
Right.
Board of Adjustment
some
goes to
board
court.
Of
I thought board appeal for Board of Adjustment goes to court. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. But it's only, what have you had, 2 and 9 years?
Mr. Tackett.
Mr. President, I move to amend the rule change to 5.3.3, section 5.3.3.5, to add the sentence at the beginning, upon the filing of the appeal with the clerk of council, comma, blah, 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 blah.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there a second?
Yeah.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Smile.
I would make a motion to approve amendment to Council Rule 5.3.3 as amended.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Council. Outstanding. We shall move to, thank you, Anthony. Agenda item number 4, discussion regarding memorandum of understanding on possible workshop room improvements. Councilmember Diller.
Yes. Mr. Bullock, before we start this discussion, I would just like to make it clear that I am resigning from the Technology Committee. When we formed this committee about 3 years ago, it was a fairly limited scope. Mm-hmm. This has gone beyond what I am comfortable dealing with, and quite frankly, I just don't feel like I have the time or the expertise to take this on, so I will be resigning, effective immediately.
Before you speak, immediately. Councilmember Diller, we thank you for your outstanding service to that committee.
Mr. Smiley, I just wanted to ask if the councilwoman would mind sending me her resignation electronically.
Mr. Smiley, I would be pleased to send you and everyone else my resignation electronically and in writing.
With 7-day notice?
With the 7-day notice,
thank
yes.
You.
At 3 o'clock. On the screen?
And it can be on the big screen if Jim will be so kind as to put it up there.
It's the EMS board on 95.
Oh, jeez.
Well, let's get back to this very serious issue here. Did you want to address it, Councilmember?
No, actually, I didn't.
Oh, you,
no.
You,
she resigned.
You resigned. You don't even want to talk about it.
I will, now that Councilman Hollins is in the room, I will reveal my plan for settling this issue. That you be our representative to the arm wrestling contest with City Council, and that they choose a representative, and the two of you settle it like gentlemen,
yes,
and just arm wrestle it out. That's my solution here.
Before we hear from Councilmember Hollins, yes, clerk to the council, Betsy.
Betsy Gardner, clerk of council. I was asked after the meeting with Councilman Weiner and Councilwoman Diller, John Rego, Jim Boyle, I guess everybody, Anthony. As a result of that meeting, I put together a memorandum of understanding, just a stab at a draft, and sent that to the folks that were at the meeting. There were some recommended changes by Councilman Weiner, which have been should be in the copy that you have, some additions underlining, and that has been sent to all of you, and that's the first draft.
I figured that.
You are designated to add a majority of council.
Unless I get Loretta, I want Tim.
I think John Rego from the city recommended a couple of changes. Actually, that was only sort of discussion of extension of the rear wall. They cannot do that because there's wires and things in the rear wall, and that would be changed to the entry where we changed slightly in the construction. So they're the only recommended changes since what you have in your hands.
The 20%
copy of those recommended changes.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilmember Hollis.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes.
I'm assuming that Councilmember Rogers will go over the memorandum, but my concern is a little bit differently in that my assumption when Mr. Rego came to council was that he was representing the president and members of council.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed that he had the consent of council. And in speaking with Councilman Justin Wright, who was present here this evening, this afternoon, I realized that he was unaware of any renovations being planned for the council workshop room. We did not talk to each other because of that, but I didn't mention it during our conversation on another issue. And then last week, I received a copy of a letter that Councilman Wright sent to President Gregory, as well as other members of council, stating his displeasure that this was going on, that he knew nothing about it. Then as recent as yesterday, another city council person revealed that she was told that this was supposed to be an issue with the leadership of city council and the leadership of county council, and somehow the leadership in county council allowed this to get out. So in other words, it's almost seems as though somehow county council is involved with some backdoor deal with the leadership of city council. That is not the case. As I explained, we in fact had a meeting with Mr. Rago being on the agenda in this room in a public meeting. We had a subsequent meeting in this room, a public meeting, with it being on the agenda. But my real concern is that going forward, I don't feel comfortable going forward with an agreement where we as council, all of us, are part of this consent for you to sign on, wherein city council members, at least most of them, seem to not know anything about this. I still feel that there should be consent from city council as well as consent from the county council before this agreement should move forward. Otherwise, it just seems to me that there's some mystery about it. And when I made the suggestion to our policy director to say that I think there should be consent from both councils, the first response was that, well, the city council president doesn't need the city council's approval. And I'm not certain how their rules work, but I find it very difficult to understand how the city council president unilaterally can allocate the funding, number one, and number two, sign a contract that didn't get the renovations done. But that's their business. My concern is the memorandum of understanding between these two governments, which their rules have nothing to do with, between these two governments. And I think that we should be very open, as we have been in the past. I think that was Councilman Wright's concern that city council members were not made aware of this. My concern is that we have practiced transparency. We have all preached from the book of transparency. And I believe that we have also practiced what we've preached to in good faith. But to enter into this memorandum of understanding with city council members not knowing what's going on, we run the risk of putting ourselves in the middle of a contentious situation that is unnecessary. It is of no benefit to us. And I don't see any real reason why the city leadership decided that the city council should not be told and that we're part of some secrecy. And then furthermore, when I said to our policy director, well, would you mention to the city policy advisor that we would like to have consent from city council. His response, and it, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, is that you know that's not even to be discussed. So whatever is going on with this is weird and strange to me, and I just can't be a part of it. I see no reason whatsoever that the city council members should not give consent to this. I can recall the time when we did resolutions on these kinds of things, and now we're doing just a memorandum of understanding, and times have changed. But to leave out the entire body of the city council, to me, there's something very wrong with this. And to say that we are part of that kind of a process is, quite frankly, not true.
Right. And I want to go on record that there's nothing cloaked in secrecy between President Gregory and President Bullock. And so I don't know where that came from. It's just a bunch of bunk. So I want to go on record and say that. Excuse me, Mr. Street. Yes, sir. I just want to go on record and say that. Any points of discussion on this? Mr. Cartier and Mr. Rep.
No, I want to compliment Councilman Holland's position on this, and I think that's the position that I agree with, that this should be consent of both bodies as to disposition of this very important, asset, this workshop room, which we have used periodically over the years, and, so that we all understand, where we're going to go with this as two legislative bodies working in agreement. And I will not be party to an agreement where one side of the table doesn't really, and as a body, is not aware of the terms of this memorandum of understanding. I can't do it.
Thank you. Mr. Redder, then Mr. Smiley.
Thank you. I got to agree with Councilman Hollins. We ought to get out of this thing and until everything is settled, the smoke clears. I mean, right now we're just putting ourselves in the paper.
Mr. Smiley.
I want to make a few observations. Number one, this council nor the president acted in secret. I don't know how anyone, city council or anywhere else, can say that when our meeting notices are posted right downstairs and up here, and Mr. Rego's name was on that notice as appearing. So that's number one to clear the air. Number two, I want to take the time to at least personally Betsy's not here, but to apologize to our staff. I mean, I think they did a good job, including Ms. Diller. They got involved. They did what they did, trying to work through this for council, and it's unfortunate that they get caught in the middle of something. It's very unfortunate, and quite honestly, it's unfair to them. Taking the overall perspective, and I've thought about this because I've talked to Councilman Hollins, I've read the emails, and I've seen Mr. Ray go down there and talk to Will. I think the difference lies in that we are all committees of the whole in Newcastle County, and in the city council, they're not committees of the whole. That being said, we have subcommittees, aging, and others, and that still doesn't stop those subcommittees from coming back to the council the whole reporting. So I just say that's no excuse for not communicating with one another. I'm talking about on the city council level. I think that's the breakdown, and it just makes me appreciate that much more the fact that I remember we had discussion one time here at this very table whether to remain committees of the whole or whether to subdivide. And if nothing else, this gives me a clear perspective that committees of the whole are much more beneficial, although sometimes harder to get a quorum, but it is much more beneficial this way, because if you don't know, it's because you don't show. So I just wanted to make those observations, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Smiley. Council.
Sorry. Mr. President, yeah. Carol Dolan, Council. I did not receive this or have an opportunity to review it, but I do want you to know that I went on council reporting last night, and most of the action that's been taken in regard to the city county building has been done by resolution and has been done via a committee that already is in place between the county and the city. Without my having done a legal review, I don't know that this body even has the authority to sign a contract that would dispose of part of the building or reapportion it.
Good point.
So I just want you to know that I have not, I mean, I don't know if some of the other staff have done it or you've already done the legal research, but I have not seen it until just now.
Thank you. Councilman Wright, would you like to address this body and give you an opportunity of my colleagues, if you have any questions for the councilman, please be seated here, sir, if you have any comments.
Good afternoon. Yes. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
Council members, as Councilman Hollis has stated in the email, a number of our colleagues, I sent out an email to all my colleagues addressing our president, and no one had knowledge of what was taking place or the proposed renovations to the council workshop. And still to this moment, still have not even seen a diagram of what the proposed changes look like. There has been no dialogue.
We got 13 for you, right?
I'll show you a copy.
Put it on the screen.
And we haven't even seen that as well. It wasn't my intent to say, let's get, I guess my intent is just to, I guess I'm the game changer, for lack of a better term, on city council as far as making sure there's transparency and making sure everyone is in the loop, because quite naturally that has not been the case since January the 8th. So I'm just addressing those concerns, and I guess this issue was thrust into the situation as well. So I guess you, as you normally would do business, please move in that manner, and any questions that you have or any assistance I can give, I'll be more than welcome to.
Any questions for councilman?
Not really a question, but just to comment, and I've listened to other council comment, and as we all know, we do operate in an open and a trusting, and I think that when we have that openness and that trust, that we operate in good faith with others. And so when someone comes before council, requests to come before council in good faith, we have to believe that they're representing the interest of who they say they're representing. And so in this case, apparently that wasn't the case. And so it really, for anyone to make any type of comment, either in writing or verbally, that our chair or president or any member of this council was doing anything that we weren't operating in good faith and trust and everything. It's absolutely incorrect. And I would hope that that message goes back that, you know, I would hope that city council would practice the same methodology that that we are. And, you know, it's not criticizing anyone, but when you have members of city council that aren't aware of something that's being presented at request of county council, that's not good. And it jeopardizes, I think, our trust and good faith of one another. And, you know, we have these open type meetings, folks come in and they speak, and no one's shy about saying what they want to say or ask questions. So, you know, we want to have a good working relationship with city council in the future and everything, but we also don't want to be put in the middle of things that should be handled first in city council. So.
Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Thank you.
Right.
And Mr. President, I guess the only other fact I should lay on the table is that we haven't even heard of how we're going to pay for this financially either. So that's another big one on the table. I'm sure that the president probably figured it out, but we have no knowledge of how they're even proposing to pay for these renovations either. So
thank you.
Thank you. Just to give you a little background, make this a little clear. Council is correct. There is a city building committee. What the city building committee does, and you know, a number of us sit on that committee, is basically this building here is owned a certain percentage by us, a certain percentage by the city. They have the majority. I think at this point right now, it may be somewhere and we're in a 40-60. Now, they have a committee. What it decides is who's got what space and who's paying for what, okay? And if there's repairs, what we pay. Now, there are common areas. The common areas are this workshop that we're talking about, okay? The chamber, okay? Even the lobby, certain common areas that we're responsible for. Now, over the last couple of years, we've already gone into transactions with the city. I worked with Council President Blunt and Council President Griffiths on remodeling the chamber, putting in the visual system that is now broken, but they paid 50% of that. We also put in a new microphone system. We put in new chairs. We put in the carpeting. That was a 50-50 transaction between us and the city. So there is a precedent. We've been doing this for years now. You know, at this point in time, you know, if they want to make a renovation to this particular room, they can come back to us and say, you got to give us 50%.
And we can say, no, you can't make the renovations.
Right. I have a hard time saying no.
But again, now, I've talked to Mr. Rago. We've worked out a few things. I will tell you, your money probably is coming from your cable franchise. Okay, so again, I'm just saying there has been a precedent over the years. Okay, I talked to Mr. Rago. I suggest that he talk to his representative. I forget his last name. His name is Vince. He works down Public Works, and he has been in contact with the building committee. I just wanted to make it clear that there was a process, and the process was followed.
Thank you, Mr. Ball. Mr. Street.
Thank you, Mr. President. The irony of this for me is, as some of you may recall, I took the position that the city needed cops and we needed cops, and this was close to money for a cop, and I wasn't going to support it. The irony for me is that I had a conversation with Mr. Rego last week, and I was ready to change my position and support it. Obviously that's premature at this point, but I'm concerned and saddened by the situation that we're in. It is a city-county building, and quite frankly, I think I've very often been critical of previous administrations, some of the things that have transpired between the city and the county, very critical of the process we went through in terms of the sewer treatment plant and that contract. But the harsh reality is we've got more in common than we don't have, and at some point in time, I think all of us, city and county, need to do all we can to do a better job of working together. And I wasn't in office, actually, a New York minute, sworn in first night, and got in a major fight about the fire truck, which was related to the communications and the radios between the city and the county, or the lack thereof. We've had concerns about police agencies working together, and I have repeatedly made the point that there has, at least for some of the things that have transpired in my districts, and as well as some of your districts, some of the crime and some of the shootings have a direct relationship to something that's transpired in the city. And I'm saying all that to say, I encourage, I think at the last meet, leadership, to meet with leadership to try to resolve issues before it gets to this point, because I don't think this is good for any of us. Quite frankly, I think all of us should be embarrassed about the lack of communication and apparently our inability to work together. And we're not doing, in my view, what we all swore to do if we're going to continue to have two governments in the same building in contentious situations. So I hope we can move forward with this, and that you as the president and whatever council members you deem appropriate can meet with the president and other council members in it, with the city in it, the county executive and the mayor will also meet, so we can do a better job of working together and representing the people that we're all sworn to represent.
Thank you, Mr. Redder and Mr. Hollings. Mr. Redder.
Thank you. I'd like to ask policy director, the building committee, did they know about this prior to us getting a hold of it? This renovation?
Jim Boyle, policy director. I talked to Mr. Rago. Obviously, Mr. Rago has only been in his job since beginning of January. Okay. I informed him at that point in time that there is a building committee. They were never really active on the building committee of the administration. I informed him who to talk to, who his representative was. He informed me that he did talk to them. I've also talked to our representative, who is Bill Suter, okay, who in our special services, who also sits on that committee. So, yes, people have been informed on the committee of what's going on. They're more concerned right now with it's not involving their money, okay, it's not involved in this special services or public works money. So, the thing they're concerned about right now is the allocation of space, the reallocation of space, because it's not coming from the special services or the public works money.
Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let me try to be a little bit clearer here. I'm not trying to pick a fight with the city or trying to create some hostile environment. To me, in a democracy, you include all of those people that are, as it relates to the government, I think it's the only right thing to do for the city council to be involved. It's very easy for the president of the city council to take a consent of city council as opposed to the hardball position that they have taken. Mr. Rago is not an elected official. I spoke to our county council's policy director as a courtesy. Jim, would you let them know that I think it would be a lot easier for me if, in fact, it was a consent of both bodies? The response I got was basically, hell no, we're not going to consider that. Mm-hmm. So if there's any hostility, it's coming from both sides. Secondly, to suggest somehow today that they can go ahead and make the renovations and send us a bill for $50,000 for half of the money is ludicrous. I mean, quite frankly, the legislation that established this whole thing was 55-45. I don't know what it is now. But as a common courtesy, they came to us and the false pretense. Mr. Rago made that decision that he would not entertain the idea of a consent of the city council unilaterally. There was no going back to talk to the president of the city council. The president of the city council has not been to this meeting. They brought all these documents here in a public meeting And I think every member of council assumed that they was operating the way we operate. Mm-hmm. And the fact that if they are not, then during this memorandum of understanding, this is what we work out, is to make certain that if we are going to grant you your request, this is the way we would like to do business. How you do your other business, where the money comes from, who doesn't know, it's their business. When they bring the proposal to us, it becomes our business. When we take money from the technology fund, it is still allocated by the county council. So I made it very clear to the policy director, I don't encourage you to have any further discussions with Mr. Rago. I would have discussions with a member of the county council. We would make that determination. I would bring my interests and concerns to the county council, and that's where it would be decided. What Mr. Rago says at this point has no is of no moment to me.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Council members Kilpatrick and Smiley.
Thank you. I just would like to kind of tag on to what Councilman Holland said, that I think that everybody here probably believed that this was coming from City Council as a whole, as we would take a majority vote. And I think that the proof of that is probably in the MOU that we have, even though it's a draft, where it says it is the intent of the City Council. We would not have put that in an MOU as City Council if we didn't believe that it was coming from City Council. We would have put President after City Council. So I think that, you know, we follow a certain process. We probably assumed wrong that they follow a process and that the majority of council was behind this. And we then, because of the agreement within the building, were discussing what we should do. So I guess I have to agree with Councilman Hollins that, you know, some of the issues here are internal to the city. They're not our issue, but we don't, if we believe that this is something that the City Council has to agree on among themselves before they come to us, then I think that we should probably just let this stand until they come back with something that's more palatable.
Thank you. Mr. Smiley.
Councilman Wright, under your policies, procedures, protocol, do you have the right to have something placed on your council agenda? I'm not being smart. I just want to clarify on the record. So you could request that something be placed on your council's agenda for discussion.
What, a committee meeting or
committee meeting or a council meeting? Which?
Oh yes.
Okay. With that, with the pleasure of course, quite honestly, I think we're starting to get a little redundant. I would make a motion to table this until such time as council gets feedback from actions taken by City Council.
Sir.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any against? Table. Thank you so much.
Why are you whispering any against?
Because
all in favor, aye.
Any against?
Yeah. He's kicking me.
Yeah, kicking him back. Mr. Holland.
Mr. President, I just want to thank Councilman Wright for coming. When
yes.
I spoke to him yesterday, I told him there was a real need for him to be here because it was all going to be about our business and not theirs. But right. I just want to thank him for coming. I don't want anyone to think that I said come to this meeting.
Right.
Because I think our concerns is our concerns, even though what they do is not agreeable, but that's their business. But this MOU is our business. Thank you, Councilman.
And I just again want to apologize to Councilwoman Geller, Boyle, and Ms. Gardner, and the others who, on behalf of County Council, worked on this and ended up in the middle of something where he should have never been. Appreciate the efforts.
We appreciate our team and your work on this. And Councilman Wright, thank you for coming. You're always welcome to sit with us. Anything else on this issue? All right, let's move on to agenda item number 6.
I have a question. Is discussion on number 6 appropriate since we have no member of that committee present?
Well, unless Lou, you going to represent the councilman?
Oh, Lord.
No.
You
want
to tell us how you really feel?
No, sir.
Are you sure you resign? She's done.
I would suggest
there's no discussion on number 6.
Done.
All righty.
I try to help.
Thank you. Let's move on to item number 7, other. Mr. Smiley.
I'll take back that time now. That's why I did that. I thought. No. I just received an email. I spoke with council to council, so it is appropriate, though I don't have 7 days notice, don't have 7 days posting, haven't emailed you 7 days ahead of time. I was involved in this last year in the state legislature. Just got an email, March 12, 2013, 3:54 p.m. For the record, that House Bill 27 is coming up in committee tomorrow for discussion at 3 o'clock. It's my intention to go down and I'm going to get to it and speak on this House bill for myself, unless council decides that I should speak on behalf of council. And what this is this House bill, basically, in short, what it does is, if passed, it will allow us and school districts to attach tax returns for overdue taxes. We can't. Those are the only two things. Those two things can't. They can be gotten for everything else. You can get attachments on them for child support and other things. The bill is in down there that would give us that avenue for businesses, residents, whatever. And that would not, naturally, if they have, which Councilman Hollins actually forwarded, promoted the legislation that for the payment plans and everything else. So if they're in that, they would not be affected. But those that have not entered into a payment plan and owe back taxes, this would allow the attachment of the income taxes to collect arrearages. And, of course, the school district would be first in line. But just wanted to make you aware of it. I said, I just got this email. It just came out of nowhere. And Representative Daniel Short is the one that's moving it forward.
So. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Councilman Sheldon. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes.
So, George, what you're trying to say, Councilman, is they are going to pass a law that we do the collections. Is that the way I'm understanding or not?
No.
I haven't solved it.
Basically, just as now with child support, you can attach the income tax returns.
So we could do that on our property tax.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
So anything else, Mr.
I just want to say, because I'm sure somebody will hear, because I have not as many. I have more friends than enemies, but I do have enemies down there. So I'm sure somebody will hear that I was down there and I talked. So I just, we said before we would be open and discuss the things up front. So right now I plan on going down as the councilman for the 7th District.
Thank you. Councilmember Kilpatrick and Councilmember Retta.
I just have a question. When he opened this discussion, he said he was going down to speak for himself unless council wanted him to speak as a whole. Do we need to make a decision on whether we want him to speak as a whole?
I'm not going to make that motion. I will tell you that I've approached the administration on this to see where they're at, and Mr. Coop is supposed to be checking on it because they weren't aware. But I did approach him on it, let them know in case they wanted to send someone down or whatever.
And can I just follow up with that? We used to get all of this from Krista.
Yeah, right.
Weekly. Is there anybody in the administration that is our liaison in Dover that briefs us on what the administration is working towards so that we know what legislation affects the county?
It's a good question. I'm not aware. Anybody know?
I'm not aware of it. This didn't come out of the administration. Right. This came from some of my friends that I worked with last year.
Right,
I'm
but they
saying.
Always watched anything.
Yeah, exactly.
That, it didn't matter where it came from. They watched everything that had anything to do with county business.
Maybe it's something we need to talk with them about.
Yeah.
That would be helpful.
Because she also kept the boards and commissions website updated. That's now in kind of falling by the wayside as well.
Mr. Henry from the administration.
Marcus Henry, Policy Director. I'll speak with the administration tomorrow about this issue and get back to council.
Thank you. Okay. Appreciate it. Mr. Brett.
Thank you. George, with this legislation, on a normal basis, we collect the school taxes and our county taxes. Is it going to work the same way?
I haven't seen the legislation before. I understand everything would still go the same way. The only thing is there would be an attachment file and
right.
The IRS.
Right, we just get it from the
IRS. Yes.
But we would get it.
Yes.
So, but with this, what you said turn a light on for me, and you said that the school taxes.
My understanding is the school taxes would be the priority because we're basically tagging on this. It's being done
right,
to help
but I
the
mean,
school districts.
The school taxes, is, in essence, whoever's in the back in the rear of these taxes would be pay their school taxes first.
Well, if they owe school and county taxes of $1,000, and they got a $1,500 refund, then $1,000 gets jerked out and sent in. But if they owed $1,000, let's say they owed $700 to the school taxes, $300 to the county, and they only had a tax return of $650, my understanding is then that would be taken, that would be sent in, and that would go to the
school,
and we would have to get ours the next year.
We have to wait. Okay, yeah, the only reason why
I'll know more when I get down there.
But. Yeah, it's because I got four properties that it's over half a million dollars for school and county taxes. I like the other. Sorry,
Mr. Brad, you have the floor.
I like to make a motion that if George is going down on my end, if he wants to represent me or the rest of the council, I'll go for that.
On the second on the motion.
On what you said earlier.
I have one comment on that. Just that, with all due respect, I don't want to go back on my word or your word, but knowing how it works down there, I need the flexibility. If I get down there and there's an amendment that changes that,
right.
Then I won't speak against. I just won't speak.
Okay.
Can you email them back to us?
Or speak just to yourself.
Yeah, I have access to the computer down there.
There's a motion and a second. All in favor?
We already talked about it. You are not going to Dover.
Now, we have a couple questions.
You go Dover Downs.
Or comments. Policy Director Henry, Councilmember Calpatrick.
I have a draft of this legislation. I'm happy to forward it to council.
Okay, I was going to bring that one. I got out of here. I just haven't had time in between committees.
Councilmember.
Can I? Sorry.
Go, Cap.
Me first? Yeah, uh-huh. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Again?
Did you say again? I just want to say, as part of this discussion, understanding now that it's Danny Short's bill, this started a couple of years ago because of the manufactured housing. Because if you have a manufactured home in a park, you pay taxes on that home, not on the land. So there's millions of dollars outstanding between school and county in all three counties. Newcastle County probably has the least outstanding. Sussex and Kent have a tremendous number of outstanding tax bills. So that's kind of
nobody wants to foreclose.
And nobody, you know, they didn't want it just for manufactured housing. So this is about the third year now that this bill is coming back. Each year it seems to get a little more overall versus where it started in the manufactured housing communities.
Thanks for sharing it. Mr. Tackett and Mr. Reddick.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes.
The way I understand this, is only taxes, it's not wages?
It's only taxes.
Only taxes.
That's my
I just from my point of view, I guess state it here before we vote. I'll go not voting on it, although it sounds appealing. I haven't seen it, and I'd rather not vote on something that I haven't actually seen and know what I'm voting to support without actually seeing it.
Mr. Tack, I believe we already voted on it.
Yeah. I didn't.
But it'll be. I'll get a copy.
I was with Jenny.
I'll get a copy and everybody in the box. I'll print it out. Yeah, it's on the website. It's on the state website.
Just get it on the website.
Send it to everybody.
Mr. Street. If I have my iPad, I can read it.
Mr. Street, then Mr. Cotty, then Mr. Reddick.
You could. Okay, but you didn't ask. I don't know how the vote went.
Me neither.
So my question was.
You said yes.
No, I did not. Okay. I support it conceptually,
right. But
I'm just not comfortable voting on something and supporting something that I actually hadn't seen. So, you know, Mr. Henry said that he would make it available. But if, in the opinion of the president, we've already voted, please put me on the record as voting no.
Right. Along with the Councilman Tackett, voting no. Right. Mr. Powers, you voted
no.
No. Okay.
I have to join in the no at this point in time, and it's not no against the concept. It's just exactly the point that's being made. If we don't have an opportunity
to see
what's being presented or amendments to it, and we're going on record support.
For the record, I didn't ask you to vote for it. I'm going down on my behalf. If any other council member wants to take a look at it and let me know that they want me to use their name as well, that's fine. I was just trying to show the respect the council asked for, because some people had concerns that they didn't know what I was doing in Dover.
All right. Council, would you chime in on it?
Yes, Mr. President.
Please.
I just wanted to speak to the broader issue
yes.
of reviewing legislation and making it available to the council. As the clerk of council will remember, and the president pro tem, Nellie and Lou, and I, rather than using your titles, we always did that in-house. I mean, I know that that hasn't been the case, that the administration did it, but it's a job that was an extra duty. You just go online, pull it up, and can check it every day. There's not a reason that the body needs to get that from an outside source. That's certainly your decision, but I did want to make you aware that this body can be self-sufficient.
Yes.
Thank you.
Jim's going to have that.
Councilmember Carty.
Are we still under others?
Yeah, we're still under others.
Okay, I have another other that I want to bring up very briefly. And I know Mr. Pepakai is in the room. I just want to just to roll out the welcome mat once again to the administration. We had a practice where the law department would come over and discuss litigation, plans on litigation, strategies on litigation. This council was very accustomed to regular briefings on those issues, and I just want to extend that open door to the administration to come over and brief us on these outstanding legal issues that pertain to all of Newcastle County, so we can continue that practice of informed consent of this body.
Thank you.
Mr. Pepakai, you want to respond?
Once again, Bernard Pepakai, Law Department. As counsel, is certainly aware that a monthly report does go out along with all the updates for litigation. I will make it a point at next council meeting to give you a verbal update as well. I appreciate that invitation, and I will rise to that challenge. So to understand what some of your desires are and some of the things that you're looking for, I'm amenable to that, so please feel free to let me know, and I'll try to be as accommodating as possible.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Hinkle.
I have another
under other, sir. Uh-huh.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't at least comment on this, and my apologies for not bringing it up.
Yes.
But under number six on the agenda, when there was a possible discussion for council direction for policy, I noted that we just recently received an email from the administration about security risks with the county email system, and they're going to be locking out computers after they've been idle for 15 minutes, and certain departments within the county were excluded, but Newcastle County was not. So, once again,
You mean county council?
County council. Sorry, county council. we need to develop a direction or policy or memorandum of understanding on how we're going to be accepting the policy that the administration is giving to county council and how we're going to be handling our future security needs on our electronic systems.
You take that up with Mr. Weiner?
On his behalf, we'll bring it up before the body now for this body to consider which direction that we need to move in.
Yeah, but we tabled this already.
Yeah, I understand.
Six have been tabled.
I'm just
been tabled.
I'm bringing up the point about the email.
But this isn't
that.
Right. Is this part
the email's
of
not in here.
That's why I just brought it up, Jim.
For those that may not have read it, the gist of it is, if you're not working on your computer for 15 minutes,
down.
It basically shuts down, and you log back in again.
So,
mine at home does it.
So is mine.
And quite honestly, if an aide has a problem, I guess we have to find out why they're not typing for 15 minutes.
It's not that an aide that has a problem with it, sir. I'm just bringing up the point that there were excluded PCs in the areas that were excluded, and we weren't one of them.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Retta.
Thank you. I want to go back to the legislation that George is going to say. You said you haven't read it all, George, so I want to ask.
No, I'm going to print it out.
I read it all. They're getting it printed out now. Marcus Henry, tell me.
I do just want to say, I've been involved with it for the last 3 years with Kristen Dwyer down in Dover. This council has been apprised of it many times over the last 3 years. This really isn't anything new. It's just, it's going into a committee. Normally, Kristen would be down there handling it.
Right. Well, what I was referring to is,
yeah,
it was brought up about Did you bring it up? I think
nobody down
about the original bill.
No, about the
manufactured housing.
Manufactured housing. Are double wides involved in this? Yeah. And trailers?
Bill?
Yeah.
It's all property taxes, yeah.
Okay. The only reason why I say this is because it's like Councilwoman brought up that trailers and double wides, they don't pay the taxes directly. That goes to their rent.
No. I pay them.
There's a land rent and there's a manufactured housing rent on the facility itself.
When you register your trailer with DMV,
right,
that's forwarded to the appropriate county, and the value of that mobile home is assessed, and you pay taxes to the county.
But that doesn't really matter, because that's not what this bill is about. That's how this started.
What I wanted to know.
That's where this started. So any tax, any real estate, property tax, and no matter what they're remiss on, goes under this.
Okay,
if it's your house, it's your land, it's your farm, it's your manufactured house, it doesn't matter.
If we had iPads, we could read this.
Right, but it goes on.
Again.
All right.
That's
all
what
right.
I wanted to know.
All right.
When are you going to use it? When are you going to use it?
I have a point of order, please. We've had enough discussion on these points.
God forbid you take it home.
And you have Councilman Powers.
Let's go back to what Lou brought up with computers. And I was just thinking just recently, because I usually work on two computers at the same time, three. And I used to be able to go back while something's pulled up. And it's shut me down, and I was just thinking I was losing the signal and having to sign back in again and start all over. And it is a problem, especially if you're running off of Wi-Fi or MiFi.
This hasn't started yet here.
Okay, and I'm just recently it's been, maybe it's just my signal.
Yeah, because it hasn't started here.
We've discussed point number six. We're on other. Is there anything else under other? Mr. Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would like to echo some sentiments about updates on the boards and commissions. They are in quite a bit of a, seems to be in a bit of a flux, and I did have a bit of a nightmare situation on a board recently where the board is understaffed. We had individuals that weren't showing up, and the outcome was horrifying, and I'm hoping to rectify that. And let's get these boards filled.
Okay. Keep us posted, Mr. Tapp, please.
Well, I don't know anymore. Man, I'm trying to throw the ball over there.
It's there.
Which board is that?
And we go over the list and so on and so forth. To be very frank with you, there are a couple recent vacancies. One of the ones, and I think I addressed with one council member today, we have four citizen members on the pension board. Three of them have resigned within the last week. We've talked about that. To be very frank with you, I mean, we look at the boards and everything, but the majority of the boards are the county executive's appointments, and with only our consent. We've made our recommendation.
Got to wait for the poll board to meet.
We've got, anybody who has sent me resumes, we have talked about them, suggested them for various boards, and so on and so forth. At this point in time, the only thing we have is we have the pension board, and we have two places on the community services board. What we've done with one position, we just found out about the other position just recently, is we've normally had a person from a media PR person from one of the local companies on this board. Prior, it was from a person from TD Bank who just resigned, and we've already been in contact with WSFS. Bottom line is, we have been in contact with some, about these boards. We have taken the resumes. We have taken them to the administration. Very frank with you too. We as a council have the overall big picture of boards and commissions. We have very few direct appointments.
Maybe we could ask the administration to give us an update at the next executive meeting, maybe?
Mr. Henry, address that, then Mr. Street, then we'll take a motion to adjourn.
Yeah, Mark is our policy director. I'm happy to give a full briefing in terms of where we are, boards and commissions. To be quite frank, it's a process, and it's a process that has never been optimal but we're trying to get to that point working with Jim. I'm actually very happy the last few months in terms of our collaboration with this process. So I'll give a full briefing at the next executive meeting.
Sure. I'll make sure you're on the agenda. Thank you. Mr. Street.
I'm just concerned about what I think is very, very serious about three people at the same time resigning from the pension board.
Yeah.
I mean, there's too much at stake. I'm just going to say it. Politics should not come into play with pensions. And there's something wrong, something seriously wrong, when three people resign at the same time, and I haven't followed that the way some of you had it, but it's too serious, too much at stake for to continue that what appears to be a very negative path, and we're playing with people's literally their how they live.
Thank you, Mr. Street. Any public comment? Seeing none.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Meeting adjourned.
All right. And I'm going to clarify off the record. The last two